Stephanie and I always enjoy coming to be with you and lead worship with you. Today, we're going to be thinking about how God is awesome. So that's a thought today. In Psalm 103, it says, "May all that is in us bless God's holy name, for he is the one who forgives our sin, saves us, and crowns us with love and mercy." And we're going to celebrate that as we start by singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let us pray. Lord, we long to worship and praise you in all your majesty, mystery, and power. You are greater than we can understand or imagine. You are awesome. Yes, we thank you that through Jesus we can approach you with confidence and joy. Now, I've got a couple of pictures of a couple of mountain tops. Okay, one on the left hand side, and one is sort of the Mount Sinai from the Old Testament, and that, and the one on the right is more like the story of the ascension. But whatever, but they're two pictures of mountaintops. Yeah, no, no. No, but that's actually the question is, you know, just look at those for a moment, think about those, and sort of think, does either one of them sort of make you think about God, sort of represent God in any way, shape or form? If they do, which one do you prefer? Is your image of God sort of like the one on the left-hand side with the lightning and the thunder? Or is it more like the one on the right-hand side with sort of the mystery at the top and things around? And why? And I'm not suggesting there's a right or a wrong answer to that question. You know. Anybody want to say why they prefer one over the other? Well, it's sort of... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody else got any comment on them, or which they think about, which they prefer when you close your eyes and you think, do you sort of think of that? How do you think of the spirituality?
I like mountains, so the one on the right is more when I think of God on the mountain.
That's what you think more of, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to be thinking about how awesome God is, as I said earlier. And both pictures have an aspect of awesomeness about them, if there is such a word as awesomeness. But if there isn't, I've used it today, and can we have it in the Oxford English Dictionary next year, please? But both, I think you probably agree, both of them have that aspect of awesomeness about it, but very different ways of presentation. And reflects the way that we often think about God in different ways. And maybe even how one of us might think about God on one day and how we might think about God on another day. So, let's just have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we praise you for your humility and love, which draws us into your presence, though we are not worthy, which delights at our worship, though it is not perfect, which rejoices at our faith, though it is fragile, which celebrates our lives, though they are flawed. We praise you and thank you for being so wonderful, wise and loving. Amen. Now I think Seth's going to read a reading from Hebrews. Thanks.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. You have not come, as the people of Israel came, to what you can feel, to Mount Sinai with its blazing fire, the darkness and the gloom, the storm, the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of a voice. When the people heard the voice, they begged not to hear another word, because they could not bear the order which said, "If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling and afraid." Instead, you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with its thousands of angels. You have come to the joyful gathering of God's firstborn sons, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, who is the judge of all mankind, and to the spirits of good people made perfect. You have come to Jesus, who arranged the new covenant and sprinkled blood that promises much better things than does the blood of Abel. Be careful then, and do not refuse to hear him who speaks. Those who refused to hear the one who gave the divine message of earth did not escape. How much less shall we escape then, if we turn away from the one who speaks from heaven? His voice shook the earth at the time, but now he has promised, I will once more shake not only the earth, but heaven as well. The words, once more, plainly show that the created things will be shaken and removed, so that the things cannot be shaken will remain. Let us be thankful then, because we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be grateful and worship God in a way that will please him, with reverence and awe, because God is indeed our destroying fire. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Seth.
We're going to sing again. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him.
And Heidi is now going to come and read from Luke for us.
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then you should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Thanks to the word of the Lord.
So, mountains. We know Laura likes mountains. How many mountains have you been up?
Oh, I couldn't count many.
Which is the tallest one you've been up, do you think?
That's a good question. Maybe Ben Nevis.
Right. Well, maybe you got up Ben Nevis, but you're not quite sure whether you got there or...
There might be a bigger one in another country.
Right. Right. How many other people like climbing mountains?
Yeah. Yeah.
That ruins his excuse.
Let's clarify that. He tried to get me to go up a mountain on a cable car. That's not happening.
You know. But there's that. Now, there was that man in Wales, wasn't there, went up a hill and came down a mountain? Because he carried earth up there and... yes, it was almost, wasn't quite high enough to be a mountain, so he took enough up there to make it a mountain, which sounds like cheating to me. But mountains can be very different from each other. Some mountains, when you get to the top, they are very cold. They're covered in ice and snow. Other mountains, when you get to the top, you've got lava and goodness knows what else. They're active volcanoes, but they're still mountains. When we go up any particular mountain, we don't really know what we're going to find. When we go on holiday and we look in our guidebooks, do you sort of look in the guidebook before you go on holiday to read about where you're going and maybe think about some of the sights that you're going to see? In my experience, when you actually get there, it's almost always much more impressive, much more fulfilling than the guidebook was able to suggest. You know, so we talk about mountaintop experiences, don't we, in our Christian life, those wondrous moments. But how How good are you at noticing the world around you? And not just when we go up a mountain. You know, archaeologists have a keen eye for the one stone that is a shaped flint. You know, used to always seem to be archaeology programs on television. Now it's cooking programs, but used to have lots of archaeology programs, didn't they, where they would be scraping away the earth and they would get all terribly excited about this faint change in colour, and then they'd pick out this stone and they would say, look at this. And maybe it was this is a shaped flint arrowhead or something or other. But until you were told what it was, if you're like me, you just thought it was a bit of old rough stone in the ground. We're told that shepherds can recognise their sheep. And there's actually been some things in the literature recently, in papers recently, which said that sheep can recognise people. But how good are you at spotting what's going on the world around you? And it can be different in different circumstances. Quite often when I'm driving the car, Stephanie will suddenly say to me, oh, did you see that? And I haven't got a clue what she's been talking about. Car drivers, do you have that experience that quite often your passenger will say, oh, that was spectacular, and you haven't got a clue. You were concentrating on driving the car. You know, you weren't looking around. When we go about our daily lives, we don't often notice things. You know, we can go into town, can't we? And we're shopping and we get back home, and then we look on the news and there's something going on in town and you sort of think, I never saw any of that. In our gospel story that Hayley read for us, Jesus noticed somebody in the synagogue who everybody else in the synagogue pretty much ignored. She was a disabled woman. Her disability meant that she wasn't a useful member of society. Yeah. And that was a double problem in those days, because women weren't reckoned to be a useful member of society in those days a lot of the time, were they? They were sort of classed as second class citizens. But this woman who was disabled, Jesus noticed her. When you come to church, do you notice who else is in church with you? Hopefully, yes. But sometimes not. I've certainly had the experience of sort of after Sunday service and sort of thing, somebody saying, was so-and-so in church this morning? And you're sort of thinking, were they? Yeah. I can see from some looks on faces round that you've had that experience as well. We were not looking at who was around. God looks and sees. You know, there are various passages in the Bible which tells us how God is good at seeing things. You know, that passage about how not a single sparrow falls without God noticing. Jesus noticed the woman, and then he told her, he called out to her, "You are free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and once she straightens herself up, and praised God. There are people in church with us today who aren't as mobile as they used to be, aren't as well as they used to be in various ways. If there is a miracle of healing and that person was healed in front of us this morning, what would our reaction be? Amazing. And praise God. But, oh no, that's not the reaction that we read about in their reading, was it? "Hang on a minute," they said. "This is Sunday, this is the Sabbath." Now we can go into lots of reasons and talks about whether actually the Sabbath is Friday, Saturday or Sunday, or because we changed calendars or whatever over the years, and counting, is it the same? But we are called to set aside one day in the week for God. One day when we don't do our normal daily activities. The Jews at the time had grown to believe that you should do no work of any kind on the Sabbath. And if you go into the historical literature about it all, they had great tomes and rules and regulations about what counted as work and what didn't count as work. And if you go to Orthodox Judaism today, they still have lots and lots of rules and regulations about what is work, what isn't work. Jesus said to that woman, "You are healed today." He was challenging what the people, religious beliefs, were holding. He was saying, we should not ignore people, we should not ignore needs, because it's a particular day of the week. You can turn it all every way round. So we could say, well, on the Mondays we will think about blind people. On Tuesdays we will think about deaf people. You know, and this is all good because we would all be concentrating on particular people in need. Hayley was telling me just before the service that looking at the reading and asked her to read, it reminded her of an occasion she was doing some marathon or whatever for charity, and it was on a Sunday, and she took a sponsorship form into work to get people to sign up. And one person in work, she said, was very much a Christian, but professed to be very much a Christian person. But they said, "We're not going to sponsor you because you're doing it on the Sunday and you shouldn't be doing such things on a Sunday." God is telling us that we should look at whatever the need of people around us is, and we shouldn't pay any attention to reasons why we shouldn't help them based on because it's a day of the week or any other spurious reason like that. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And He is awesome every day. He wants us to make a difference in the world, whatever the day of the week it is. So, we should be doing things. Our reading from Hebrews was about the difference between Mount Sinai, about Mount Sinai, where the people came before God, came before the mountain, and they were terrified of God. But Jesus said, yes, God is awesome, but that doesn't mean we should be terrified into inactivity. A well-known hymn begins, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before him, his glory proclaim." We're called to celebrate and to enjoy our Christian life, our Christian worship. In our gospel reading, in Hebrews, we see these words. We see Jesus questioning priorities and changing lives. What are the priorities that Christ is calling us to change in our lives, in the world today? We are invited to the party in the eternal kingdom of God, the heavenly city, the place where we can worship without fear because Jesus came. Unlike Mount Sinai, Jesus can be approached with confidence. When we approach Jesus, we should approach with rejoicing. Our worship on Sunday mornings should be a time of celebration, of smiles and happiness. You know, when you were young, were church services on Sunday sort of somber and that? when you got home after church, you weren't allowed to do anything or play with anything. You had to sit quietly because it was Sunday. Did that make you look forward to Sundays? If we're not looking forward to Sundays, we're not celebrating worship the right way. That is what our gospel passages, our Bible readings today are telling us. We should be looking forward to Sundays. We should be looking forward to our times of worship, because they should be times when we are really invigorated and we can actually enjoy ourselves. Our worship should be a party atmosphere. Yeah. God is an awesome God, but he's not a terrifying, unapproachable God. He is a God who wants us to change priorities so that those around us who are in need have their needs met. We're going to sing now the song Awesome God.
Going to take up the offering. Everything that he has given to us, and we bring these our offerings to him, asking that he might use them, that he might use us to bring the glory of his kingdom to his world. Amen. We're going to
have a short prayer of confession. Let us pray. Holy God, forgive us when we cheapen the word awesome and diminish its meaning. Forgive us when we are casual about our worship, when we revere the wrong things. Forgive us when we bow down to the idols of the world and seek to be trendy, not truthful. Draw us into your purifying love, that we may worship you as you deserve. Awesome God, your forgiveness is beyond our deserving. Your love is beyond our exhausting. Your kingdom is beyond our imagining. But we welcome your forgiveness with humility. Receive your love with joy and journey towards your kingdom with hope and assurance. Amen. We're going to sing now another song. It's Who Is He in Yonder Stall? Which sounds like it should be a Christmas song.
We actually said that at practice.
Yeah. But actually, it's only the first verse that has anything to do with Christmas. So, as we sing it, think about what the other verses are saying about the other parts of Christian life, not just the first verse, which appears to be talking about Christmas. Well, he's talking about Christmas. Who is he in yonder stall? illustrates how first impressions aren't always right, doesn't it, that hymn? You know, we sort of look at that first verse and we say, oh, won't sing it now because it's not Christmas. When we get to Christmas, of course, we look towards the third and the fourth verse and we say, well, you can't sing it now because it's not Easter at Christmas. But it's, if you take it as a whole, if you look beyond what you see first, actually, it is a hymn of great meaning. A hymn which actually talks about our relationship with God, with Christ, and his relationship and his love for us throughout the whole of his ministry. So we're going to pray now some prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord, today is the Sabbath, a day when we are called to rest from our labours and spend more time with you. Help us to breathe deeply of your freshness and vitality so that our strength is restored for the week ahead. Help us to know the freedom that comes from being your followers and to drink deeply from your resources. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Father, we pray for those who have received exam results. We know education has been disrupted over the past few years and there's been so much change. We pray for those who've received results. We pray with those who celebrate the results that they've received being what they expected, what they wanted, what they needed. But we also pray for those whose results were not what they wanted, not what they needed. We pray for the staff at schools who, to be able to help those who are unhappy with their results and to point them in helpful directions. Oh Lord, we pray that where you have closed doors, you will open another door clearly to those who need to step through. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Lord God, we pray for all the forgotten people in our community. We think of the housebound and elderly, children in care, the homeless, the migrants, the lonely, those who are in unhappy homes, who are afraid. Forgive us that we do not know all of these people, but thank you that you care for each of them. Help us to listen to your voice and respond to the needs that you put on our hearts. Give us the courage to step out of our comfort zones and follow where you take us. Help us as a church to seek more ways of serving those in our community who need our support. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Lord, as the escalating cost of living affects us all, help us not to forget that you are a generous God and you call us to be generous too. There are always those who need more than we do. So give us the wisdom to see how we can help. We pray for our government that they might be humane, that they might be just, that they might help those both in our countries and elsewhere that need help. Help them to see that the needs of the world stretch beyond our borders. Show them how to act justly rather than just seeking vote-winning policies. As a church, help us to review how we give so that your justice is seen clearly throughout the world. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Father, we pray for all who are imprisoned, whether they be in a physical jail or imprisoned by their health, status in society, or by their own emotions, sorrows, or fears. We name out loud or in our hearts any we know who need your freeing touch right now. Give us empathy for all who feel trapped and uncertain by their situations. Show us how to bring your freeing love to them this week. Lord, who sees all, teach us to follow your lead. Father, as we enter this new week, help us to rejoice in the freedom we have in you. We thank you for your unconditional love for us and how you went to the cross to free us from the bondage of our sins. We thank you that you rose from the grave to free us from death and to enable us to live in the freedom and joy of your love. Help us to go from here renewed and invigorated by all that you are and all that you have done. Thank you, Christ, for making us free. Amen. Now sing our final hymn, I Hear the Sound of Rustling in the Leaves of the Tree. Let us say and share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.